Episode 72, The Rant, Crunch Time Basketball, Mo, Marcus, and White, creators of Long Island's premier pro-am basketball league, showing that hoopers can ball in the suburbs too. Growing up, Mo, Marcus, and White had an affinity for Hempstead. Moreover, an affinity for Long Island. In this pod, they discuss their love for the crib, what basketball has done for them, the genesis and development of Crunch Time Basketball, and what the future holds. All that and more, my conversation with the Crunch Time team, now.
The Rant has been brought to you by Roar Organic. Everything your body needs, nothing it doesn't. There's a reason they say variety is the spice of life, and with their new organic line comes the following exciting flavors. Georgia peach, blueberry acai, cucumber watermelon, mango clementine, pineapple mint, strawberry coconut. Ah! Roar Organic uses a proprietary electrolyte blend created with organic coconut water, organic cane sugar, and sea salt. It's non-GMO, vegan-friendly, gluten-free, no artificial colors or flavors, no preservatives, and no artificial sweeteners. Just 2 grams of sugar and only 10 calories per serving. Visit roar.land and use the code REFEREERANT, one word, in the checkout and receive 10% off your next purchase. That's roar.land, code REFEREERANT. The Rant has been brought to you by the revolutionary product for referees and all professionals alike, Knee Tucks. What the tuck? Traditional shirt stays have been tried and true, but never accounted for those professionals that have shorts as uniforms. What do you do when you officiate soccer or lacrosse or even basketball in the summer? Don't forget about baseball umpires, too. Enter Knee Tucks, which come in style and active versions. Don't get it twisted. You can even wear them at your 9-to-5, too. Listeners of The Rant can visit KneeTucks.com and enter the coupon code REFEREERANT, one word, and receive 20% off your initial order. That's REFEREERANT, one word. Happy tucking!
3 special guests, the triumvirate of Crunch Time Basketball. Yes. White, Mo, and Marcus. What's good, y'all?
What's going on?
So it's a hot day. I guess it was, is it today the first day of free? Yeah. No, yesterday was the first day of free agency, but we're not going to talk about that. I'm wearing a Knicks jersey. They thought I was a Knicks fan. I used to be one. I just wear it because it bears the same name as my son, Mason. I got number 14 on. I would never wear any, never contribute to anything that James Dolan is doing. And I would say for any Knicks fan out there, it's like rooting for the same thing as having a messed up washing machine. You know, if you keep going into using the same bad washing machine and you keep messing up your clothes, that's really on you, man. There's just so many other choices. But welcome to the show, y'all.
Appreciate
it. Thanks for having us, man. Thanks for having us.
So really quickly, I just wanted to know, what was the relationship of y'all? Because it seems like you guys are really a big force. Before we got on air, I saw you guys were looking at some notes, and you were talking about, what is it, week 4 of Crunch Time?
Yeah. Week 4 coming up.
Yeah, so you guys seem like you're making moves, trying to figure it out. So what is your relationship, and how do you guys know each other?
Well, we pretty much all grew up together. Marcus is my actual cousin. We grew up, you know, obviously, together, played sports together. Mo is, I call him pretty much my OG, you know what I'm saying? Taught me a lot of right from wrong growing up in the neighborhood. And their relationship, I let them speak on their own relationship. But like I said, me and Marcus is family, and Mo is my extended family.
Well, pretty much Marcus is family to me, too. Sorry about that. Marcus White, of course, his family. I knew him since he was younger. And Marcus, I knew him half his life already. Yeah. So, yeah, he like a brother, man. Like a younger, older brother.
Yeah. We all grew up in Hempstead. Yeah, pretty much. You know, we all grew up in Hempstead. You know, basketball kind of brings us all together, you know. And that was like one of my first times seeing Mo. Actually, first time seeing Mo was when he was in Kennedy Park playing against Future. It was a special game. It was a 98.7 Kiss FM.
All-star game.
Mm-hmm. All-star game.
You mean when they used to still play hip-hop?
Yeah, when they used to play. That was mad long ago. Yeah, so I see him playing against Future. I'm like, yo, who is this? Who is this? He was killing on the court. And then later that summer, I stepped on the court with him and then, you know, learned some tricks from him. He used to try to, like, bully us and all that. And, you know, from there, it was just all love.
I find that interesting because I was literally around the block from you guys. I live on the other side of Baldwin, which is Hempstead, but I'm Uniondale School District. So I went to Grand Avenue School. So I went to school with, well, I played basketball at Coast Neck Park, which is probably near where you guys are from. Yeah. I know Seville. and we talked about that connection.
That's my boy.
Scooby.
That's my boy.
He moved over to Grand Terrace.
From Hempstead.
And then when he was like, we from the stead, y'all. I was like, bro, you just moved one block over the bridge. And it's like the same people. And I'm trying to think who was. Latif.
Yeah.
That's
family. Froggy, he used to dunk on me a lot. So, you know, I was playing, but I was never really good. But other than that, you guys just grew up playing basketball in the Hempstead area?
Yeah, pretty much brought everybody together. Family, even the people that didn't play basketball, it kind of brings everybody together and creates like a family-based, you know, it's family-oriented, you know what I'm saying? Built around the sport. So through basketball, we also play football, but basketball was like our first love, all of us. And it's kind of what we grew to stay with. Mm.
So I learned as an official that most of the games that I've realized that are, I guess, challenging and for something that is more of a, I guess, something worthwhile for me is all the games in the city. So we're talking about we're deep in the summer. You know, we got West 4th, we got Gersh Park, we got Rucker Park, we got Hoops in the Sun. But crunch time is something that's special and it has that same flavor, but we're bringing it to Long Island. So how did you guys even start? What was the genesis of crunch time basketball?
It's so many layers to that, honestly, man. I'm going to let Marcus do the first breakdown to that. But you want to start off?
We started off, I started off trying to give back to the community where I was at. And I had them help me out. And then it turned out good. So we went from there with starting crunch time because of how, like you said, the family oriented, how everything went. It's a lot of violence where we at. And for us to have that whole day and nothing happening and just basketball, everybody having fun, the kids out there, is what we wanted to see and what we want to make big and bring that city flavor to Long Island instead of the Long Island dudes, everybody play basketball, trying to get to Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan. We want them to come out here and see what we're about also.
Right, and you know, I had Ant Cox on my show recently, and I think something that we all share as Long Islanders is that we always have that chip on our shoulder. We always want to prove to ourselves that, okay, we're not from the city, but we're cool too. We can ball out too. Was that also a part of it?
Yeah, definitely, because like, even with, like, I do music as well. It's the same, you know, comparison. They look at the Long Islanders as if like we just outsiders, like we're not a part of New York. So, like you said, we just kind of fighting with that same chip on our shoulder, basically not to try to fit in, but to stamp your place, to stamp your mark. Mm-hmm. You know, you just letting them know, listen, man, y'all got ballers, but y'all got to come see us eventually too. You know what I'm saying? Basketball, music, any type of sporting events. We just want to show that we equal. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. So how long ago was that event, Mo, that you started?
That was years ago.
That was
Five, 6 years ago.
Were you surprised about the turnout and how it came out?
For sure. It was hard work.
Surprised?
Yeah.
Of the turnout?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't surprised.
I was surprised.
There was no violence.
Nah. I feel like basketball-wise is different from street-wise. Like, you know, the respect that people have for us on the court, it's staying like that. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be disrespectful, or would be disrespectful for somebody to disrespect us like that. I feel like it was good. It was a lot of people, man, came out. I got pictures.
Yeah, we need to put that on the website. So one thing that does keep the peace is the officials, and you have to have strong officials to officiate these games. So before that, when you were spectating this and starting this, what was your perception of officials before you even thought about this? And did it change over time as you started this and you started to realize, like, you can't just get anyone off the street?
For sure. They got to be strong-minded, not tough-skinned, not let, like, any single thing somebody says to them affect them.
They got to be battle-tested, you know, like, that's really, even up to date now, that's one of the key things that Crunch Time like to express is who we gonna get to officiate certain games. You know what I'm saying? Certain games have to have those top level officials, and they gotta be battle tested, they gotta have that tough skin, they gotta be able to take certain tongue lashings, cause a lot of these players, even though we try to control it from the outside, you know, they're grown men as well. They like to have their own conversations. So yeah, we definitely learned a lot, all three of us. You know, the officials is probably the most pivotal, the most key part that we have, a part of Crunch Time. That keeps everything together. So without the officials, and having those people control the game in a certain manner, because you want to still have a certain level of communication. Mm-hmm. So if you're able to get your point across by communicating without being disrespectful, then that's very key for us.
Right, and I guess when you are an official, and the difference between something like pro-am versus college or high school, you're mandated to have a different type of temperament. You have to have a different type of control. You kind of feel like you're a police officer when you're doing a college game and you're doing a high school game. I remember I did Mosar Jarrett when he was in eighth grade. What school does he go to? What's it called?
The charter school.
That charter school in Hempstead. And I remember I had to act like a cop, and that's like kind of not my element,
yeah.
But I got to do it because that's my mandate. And I think that's one thing that everyone has to understand as officials is that, you know, sometimes you might disagree with the call, but I got a boss, right? And I gotta ref the way they want me to, right? Mm-hmm. And then the same thing with pro-am. You have to let them, you have to be able to absorb a lot of the crazy things that they say. You know, sometimes if those things happen in a high school game or a college game, I'm not gonna let that fly. But when it's a pro-am game and you know that, you know, it's different than adult league, because in adult league, for most of the time, they're not that good, right?
They're recreational, yeah.
They got the bite, but they can't really bark. But in pro-am, not only do they bite, they can bark too, right? They can play. So
And they know the rules themselves, a lot of them.
Right.
I say everybody, because we you know, I wish some of them would sit back and learn some of these rules. You know, like I told you before, off the books, when I went to a referee class, it kind of changed my whole perception of what the referees have to go through. So it's a lot of rules that a lot of players don't know. So I encourage all the players to, you know, take a referee class, even if you're not trying to get certified, take that class and just learn some of the things that the referees got to deal with, you know, as far as angles, positioning, you know, sidelines, eyeing the ball, things like that. So it's a lot of little key things that the officials got to deal with outside of communication, you know, just positioning on the court.
So let's go back to the player side. What do you guys look for in players? What do you guys look for in teams? And how do you get to the point where now we can field a whole bunch of teams to have a successful crunch time season?
As far as that, we I know Marcus, he's big on screening a lot of teams. We all are now. But he's kind of ahead of his time with that, because at first I was just like, they got the money.
Just let them
bring
them
in.
Let them play.
He was like, no, listen, we got to have a certain level of competition, certain level of talent, certain level of player to be in the league so we can uphold a certain name. I think that's why the Crunch Time name kind of grew so fast, because of the type of talent that we brought in. Some of the city guys came out and we exposed some of them as far as introducing them to the Long Island talent that we had. So they met together and some of them combined teams, and I think it was just like a firecracker, it just blew up.
Mm. So let's talk about the current season. So how did you get the current crop of teams and the current top players, and discuss some of the best players that you already have in the league right now?
Well, for the summer, you know, the summer is very tough because it's a lot of tournaments that go on. It's a lot of tournaments that take place. So, you know, like, it's a bunch of guys that want to play in the city for different reasons. You know, so for me, it was a challenge of getting those quality players to play in our league, which, you know, in the beginning, it looks a little tough, but we were able to get there. We have 20 teams, and some of them are really good teams.
You know, most of them,
16 solid teams. And, you know, you don't want to shut everybody out. So, you know, you want to give some teams an opportunity, you know, because it is like a pro-am. So, you know, you want to see what they have, and then you let them know where they stand in the seasons to come. You know what I'm saying? So some of the players that we have, I would say, like, yesterday, just speaking on yesterday's game, we had Gosh Gift, actually, played at St. John's. Oh, yeah. George Beeman played at Manhattan College.
Overseas. Spain, things of that nature.
Yeah,
so.
G League.
Another way that we screen players now, we got so much footage and, you know, content out there that we kind of send it out. Listen, this is the level of players that we have. Send us some footage. So if we don't know you at all, majority of the players we kind of know now, we built a relationship with. But if we don't know you at all from Can of Paint, send us some footage in. Let us analyze you, and then send us some footage of some of your players, because, you know, we almost had a couple instances where we had to refund a couple guys their money back. But, you know, throughout the season, they got better and better. So once they seen the competition, they get to go back, revamp their roster, and then they go forward like that.
In its current form, in comparison to when you first started, what were the challenges that you've learned? What were the things that really informed you to move forward, and how do you see this thing growing in the future?
Some of the challenges. I mean,
everything was a challenge.
Yeah, everything's always a challenge. Everything was a challenge.
We got different challenges, honestly, and I hate to put it out there like that, but hopefully this get out there and we get some help on the back end. But one of our biggest challenges is maintaining a steady home gym. So if anybody has a home gym, quality gym with some good bleachers, good standing and sitting room, please reach out to us. CrunchTimeBasketball_ This is me pleading and begging for help. You know, we would like to keep it home base in the Hempstead area, Long Island area, but you know, it's been kind of a hard battle, it's a tough challenge, and we got to keep going. We built a, you know, we built a brand now that people kind of are sticking with. They following in social media, they following in real life, and we just want to keep it going. It's not something we wanted to go fly by night.
And where do you see this going in the future? Do you see this developing even more over time, having a home gym?
Of course. Once we build that home gym, even if not the home gym, we kind of looking to compete with, you know, the top level leagues such as, you know, you named some of them already, the New York leagues, West 4th, Gersh, things of that nature. Even the Drew League and Brunson League, we want to be, you know, or even during the offseason, we want to uphold a certain standard of level of competition. You know what I'm saying? We want to be that top name. So we shooting for the top dog, whoever it is. But, you know, it's all love. It's friendly competition.
So, White, I know that not only do you have your duties as, you know, one of the founders of Crunch Time Basketball, but you're also the MC and the announcer. So let's talk about.
Yeah.
I started doing all that. I was the ref. You were like halfway playing me. You weren't really playing me, but it was just like, what's that, man?
That's my introduction, man. I just know I like to break the ice. If I don't know you, I'm going to crack a couple jokes just to see where your personality is at. Some people kind of duck and hide, and I kind of fall back. But if you crack some jokes back with me, we can build a relationship. It'd be funny and weird in the beginning, but let's talk about how this job came about. I'm dying to tell people because I actually got tricked into the job. So Mo and Marcus leading up to the event, the very first game. So we getting everything behind the scenes together, getting the gym, getting the teams.
I didn't trick them.
Leading up to the event, I kept asking, so who are we getting to MC the games? You know, we got to have it. That's a key element. So we like, we good, don't worry about it. I got it covered. Marcus like, I got it covered. Mo like, yeah, we good. Watch it. We gonna hold it down.
So they knew this the whole time.
They knew that this must have been a plan. You know, I didn't know.
This is confirmed. You knew this.
I knew all along he was going to do it.
So I'm thinking, this is game one now. You know, I like to have, I'm very, like, strategic. I like to have everything organized. So now I'm running off the checklist. We got this, we got that, we got this. Where is the MC? Rev hands me the mic and says, go out there, hold it down. He's on his way. So I'm still thinking we got an MC coming. Before you know it, I did 6 games. So now I'm just creating content. I'm freestyling. And before you know, by like week 3 or 4, I had a couple of people coming to me. It was just like, yo, I actually enjoy you MCing the games. And from that, I'm assuming these guys pretty much heard it from the outside before I did. I thought I was just holding the job until somebody actually came.
You got footage of that first game? That first day?
We definitely got footage of somebody floating around.
Because I'm pretty sure you
don't see, you know what I'm saying?
Like, you going for it, and you're like, yo, where is he here? Is he coming? You probably doing this like
for like the first 3 games.
50 times, like,
yo, what's going on?
Yo, this is the 4th game. Yeah. I might as well just tell him not to come.
Yeah. So I'm learning as I go. I'm still learning as I go now. A lot of guys are saying I should you know, try to build a brand around it, but I'm sticking to what I know, which is Crunch Time, which is my family, and I'm going to build with my family. So if it takes off, I'm going to take what comes with it.
You know, do you feel like you've gotten better over time because of the repetition?
I definitely got better. And I learned that I had to freestyle. I did it too. I got to a point, like I said, I'm so organized. I try to write down some of my material pre-write it down before the games. But it just comes off too mechanical, too robotic. I didn't like that style, so I kind of fell back. I was like, you know what? I'm going to freestyle. Whatever comes out, comes out. As long as I know I can't curse with the children in the building, try to keep the content clean, and just try to keep people entertained. They actually helped me out a lot, you know, giving me, like, celebrity lookalikes, telling me what people look like, things like that. So they give me material from the sideline. So if I randomly hit you with a, they go John Travolta or something like that, you know what I mean? A lot of times it comes from my guys, so. It ain't just me, even with, you know, you might hear my voice, but a lot of those jokes may come from the sideline.
So some of those parks that I've been doing in the city, one thing that I do realize is that it's very difficult. It's really easy to do it when it's an intense game going back and forth. You know, you got a 4-point game, 2-point game, and it's going back and forth. It's very competitive. The crowd is in it. But what happens when the score is 50-2, right? Or 25-1 within the first 3 minutes? Now where are you as an MC? You're trying to keep the crowd in there, and this is the first game of six. And, you know, everyone's already disengaged because they're like, yo, this is game one. I hope that the whole day's not like that. So that puts you in a predicament. Yeah, how do you solve that?
That's actually the most difficult part of the MCing. And we don't do this no more because, like I said, we kind of screen a lot of teams. And not to give out our blueprint, but in season one, we realized, season one, we realized we put a lot of the less level, less competitive teams in the very, like, the first and second game. So we try to get those games out the way immediately. A lot of guys going to be mad when they hear this.
Yeah, we had to have a rule in place.
So if you're going out by 20, you play first game. Next week. Yeah. That was our rule. Nowadays, pretty much all the teams are competitive, so it's easy. But that's the most difficult task, is keeping that energy up in the crowd when the game is, like, nobody's paying attention. But now you just got to find an angle where you can create your content. So me, personally, I like to create, different dialogue between the players. I kind of make them jaw back and forth with each other, make them talk trash, and then create a level of isolations. So now the game is a bad game, but you got two people that's just looking like they're just going head to head, mano a mano. So now you just create that energy around that.
Have you ever felt like some of your jokes or some of the things that you're saying is just falling flat and everyone is just basically losing attention?
Yeah, a lot of times. But me, it's just like with music. You find that one person that's engaging and like the joke, and you focus on that one person. You know what I'm saying? So you might feel like, oh, that one ain't hit. But if one person's laughing, you keep feeding that one person. So I try to feed off the energy of whoever's actually engaging in the content and engaging in the jokes and feeding off their energy. So.
So aside from the games, aside from the emceeing, what are the other components that make up Crunch Time Basketball, such as food and other activities to keep, you know, even the younger ones engaged in the whole atmosphere?
Well, we have a lot of different elements as far. The food is very key. We feel like we built the atmosphere of a family-based oriented event. So we got kids, we got all ages, we got all groups, we got all genders, you know what I'm saying? So everybody from 3 years old, people being the kids, it's a family event, and we try to pit it to where it's a show. You know, so when you got a show, you providing food, you providing concessions, you providing drinks. Certain gyms allow us to do certain things with that. So we just try to feed it to where it's like, when you come in here, you sit here for a couple of hours, you're enjoying the show.
You don't want to leave. Kind of like you don't want to leave. Yeah.
Yo, man,
I had a friend that used to come last season. Him and his wife used to just buy food,
and go
stay for half an hour, and then they're gone. They just came.
Was it the food?
They just coming for the food.
Wow. So what we do is we try to build brands around family as well. So we try to bring our family in, the people that we know that do catering as far as the food. We try to help with their branding as well. So it's kind of bigger than just the basketball events. We help them brand and market their food and their business. And what they do is now they built their own name. So now you might be coming to the games. You know, at the time I had my mother, Cynthia Soul Food. Right now, we got my guy in the building, Chef Reem.
Yeah, good eats.
And he's kind of building his own fan base just off of food alone. Honestly, he actually plays in the league. So now he getting a bigger fan base than off the food in his jump shot. So big shout out to Chef Reem, man. He's a good player. Well, he's a great chef.
So another thing that I did want to speak about is the sanctions in terms of NCAA and getting the NBA. How difficult is that to get players that are already existing in other leagues? Is that a difficult task to go through?
I mean, the process is it's a grueling process that you got to go through. But, you know, once you get through, it's well worth it, you know, because you're able to get those high-level players into the gym with your uniform on, you know, and putting on the show. I feel like it attracts those players, because everybody can't play in the same league.
Right.
You know what I mean? It becomes overpopulated, you know, maybe too far or too many politics with certain teams or whatever the case may be. So I don't think that hard to get those players once those things are in place. For me, it's like growing. It shows growth, all right, from where we were to where we're going. So, you know, we just want to continue to build.
Yeah, you're only 2 years in, not to cut you off.
Yeah.
This is only our second year, top of the second year. So the plan is just to constantly grow, get bigger and better. So next is the the NBA sanction or whatever that.
Yeah. I mean, it's always levels. It's always levels that you can go. There's always ways we can make crunch time better. Mm. You know, so it's a step by step process. Always thinking, mind never stopping. You know what I mean? So it's like, yo, we bounce ideas off of each other all the time. You know what I mean? So it's always going to be a different element. It's always going to be something different that takes place that makes us different than what some other people might be doing or some other leagues and tournaments might be doing. So,
just in terms of the quality of players over the course of the 2 years, who are some of the best players that have played in crunch time? If you can name some of them.
It's a lot, honestly. You want to go through a list?
You know who we got shout out first, right? Well, everybody always call him the poster child of crunch time anyway.
The,
you know,
poster child
right
Finesse
Lee. Finesse Lee.
We call him Finesse Lee. Darian, a.k.a. Finesse Lee, a.k.a. 50 Snipes. Yeah. He's probably the most popular player, to be honest with you. Out of, like, we have 140 players plus. He's probably the most popular that everybody known. And I feel like we did a good job, you know, helping him brand himself as well, too. So now he's in a big, you know, the New York City circuit. And he's been doing his thing, man, all over the New York City circuit. So big shout out to Finesse Lee. But we got a long list of players that's just as competitive. Allen's World, that's my guy. Yeah. Big shout out to Allen. He just had a 50 clip at Gersh last night. Yeah. So this guy, he's not playing around. Allen, you got John Wick. You have Cliff. We call him From the Gate. You got Ant Cox. We call him Coast to Coast. Big Carl Lee, we call him the War Machine. We got a bunch of players, and
Auburn Scott, where we from?
The Savvy Vet, he's a hometown hero. Yeah, he's actually a living legend, I would say right now. To be honest with you, I'm talking about even at this level right now, he's been locking up since. I'm talking about probably the best defensive player I've known since he was 16. I was probably 12, 13. And he's still playing defense to this day, where defense is not even popular.
I know, right?
Defense is not popular, and he's still doing his thing. So big shout out to Auburn Scott, Eric Ferguson that played at Arkansas.
George Beeman,
JFK.
JFK the legend. Yeah.
That's my guy.
JFK is the worst for officials, man. He is.
Hold that thought real quick. I know we can go on a tangent. We talk about JFK. We love him to death. But that's also what we did last season, was that when you said something about the different elements that we bring to crunch time, I wanted to date back to that real quick. We did a special on JFK because a lot of people, we want to acknowledge some of the players that that we consider legends in the Long Island area. He played at N1, Harlem Globetrotters, things like that. Played it all over overseas. A bunch of different pro teams, semi-pro teams. So we acknowledged him and gave him his own special. It was about 10 to 15 minutes. And what we did for the championship game was we put on the actual special with a projector and we made everybody in the gym watch it. So that's one of our another elements that I don't want to give out to, you know, too many people.
We show a lot of love, man. When they show us love, we show them love back.
Our thing is, you know, make our stars feel like stars. Mm. That's one of Crunch Time's main things.
Yeah, and out of all those places that you said that he played, he terrorized me in a little church. Super annoying, but man, I respect that man deeply, you know, because at the end of the game, as much as we agreed to disagree, it was all love at the end of the game. So, you know, I knew he was coming from a place of like competition, and I understand that. I used to play basketball. I understand when I want to play. You know, I never played semi-pro or anything like that, but hey, when I'm at the court, definitely gonna give you my best. I don't care where you play, I'm gonna give you my best when I play. But obviously I'm retired now, but that's really cool. What other...
The funny thing is, he annoys you in the most coolest way. Though.
So annoying. He's never defensive 3 seconds. I thought you knew the pro rules.
Exactly.
You
know, the pro's so cool. He's just like never angry. He never really raises his voice. Yeah. Even when he's screaming, he sounds like a 18-year-old kid. So that's my guy, man. Big shout out to JFK, man.
Yeah, he sounds like a young lawyer that just wanted
to chill. So chill with it, man.
And I asked him one day, like, do you want a ref? Do you want a ref? I want to know if you want a ref.
I think he actually likes being annoying. That's like his thing to do.
And I get that because I like to be annoying too. So shout out to JFK. So, you know, you mentioned that you had that 10 to 15 minute documentary and you put it up on the projector. Just talk about the whole social media aspect of this and how much it's been able to help you grow and make it look, not that it's small, but bigger than it seems. You know, just like... with the use of technology, things, they're short clips, and those are things that are very effective. So just talk about how you use social media and technology to your advantage.
We have the best cameraman around.
Two of the best camera guys.
Cameraman.
Big shout out to Mo20 and Draypool. They provide us with all visuals and and pitches that we supply the players with on a weekly basis. And that's what I think that's what kind of helped us grow so fast.
The videos. Really.
Yeah. Can't forget AOB. AOB helped out a lot.
Oh, yeah. Big shout out to AOB.
Definitely.
He
yeah,
the first
he did.
Season. Yeah. Well, he's doing his thing now with the NBA, right?
Yeah. He's with a trainer right now, Hoop Study.
One of the top trainers in the whole tri-state area. So he's doing his thing. He's working hand-in-hand with him. So AOB, we got Dre Poole, and we got Mo 20, man. Those visuals and those pitches help us, you know, kind of like jump the line.
That's what the players like to see. They like to see themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they want to be in the NBA so bad. That's the NBA.
Yeah, I mean.
Crunch time is the NBA.
I think that's what attracted me to just watching it. And sometimes I catch myself watching the same video. But I'm like, man, this is so appealing. Like, I wish I was there. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully you guys can invite me to do the media situation for the referees, because I think that's also another good aspect.
Anytime.
We can definitely do that next week.
If I'm not working, sure. I could probably, it's Richmond Hill, right?
That's how you put the ball in his court. Right. It's on you now. You tell us.
Yeah, well, Ish, you should. I know pro rules.
Hey, come holla at us, Ish.
So, one thing that I wanted to ask you, and I want you guys to all have an individual answer. What was the stickiest situation that you guys have ever been in crunch time basketball? So, I'll start with you.
On or off the court?
We could do both.
stickiest situation. It's running into the gymnasium problem. For me, that's just, once we find a home base, I think we'd be pretty good. But we had problems where, you know, we had to like hustle and bustle behind the scenes, or we might have lost the gym during the season. That's like some of the stuff that people don't see. They just see, oh, we setting the schedule out, and you know, y'all come play games on Sundays, you know. But you know, we got a Monday through Saturday where we got to do all the business behind the game. So I think that's one of the stickiest situations where people don't know. Like, and then if we left with that situation, we got to refund people their money. So that's a sticky situation that we deal with the league, you know.
What's the stickiest situation you've ever been in, Mo, with crunch time? He's like too many to count.
It's a lot of people that DM me, put me on a team, and instead of me being rude and tell them they're not ready for this level of competition, I just tell them I get back to them, and it's hard.
Oh, hey, this.
Well, we could always edit this.
Nah, we ain't edit that.
It's a sticky situation, because some of them dudes is cool. They like family too, but it's just hard for me to just tell them that. I know how the reaction gonna be. So that's tough.
They got too
Do you
much
think
heart.
That could be a genesis of like a crunch time B league?
Oh,
where you could do that.
Well, we're working on that. We're working
we
on that.
We got a spinoff coming.
We got to.
I could assign those level.
Oh yeah, we got to talk to them.
We got a few things we're working on. Few surprises. Hopefully
soon.
Should
we let that
soon.
Out the bag now?
Nah.
Okay.
All right. Well, coming soon.
Well, we already talked about the B league, so that's a spinoff coming. We got more in the works.
So Marcus, what is your stickiest situation that you ever been with crunch time?
I wouldn't really say like sticky situation, man. It's for me, it's just a grind. You know what I mean? Things is going to happen. Everyday life is just figuring it out. You know what I mean? I think we do a good job of figuring whatever we got to get, whatever needs to get done, gets done. You know, it's been times where I was doing the clock, the shot clock, and the book. And they like, yo, how you doing it? And then, you know, I might mess up or not stop the clock or something like that, but everything is on. Like, the score is right, the book is right, you know what I mean? So it's just a grind.
You know how I know that you three were like the co-founders? Because both of y'all had your heads in five different directions every time I spoke to y'all when I was there. I just could tell, because I remember you like, yeah, and you would just...
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a party, right? When you host your own party, you're the only one that's not enjoying it. Right?
Yeah,
you're the only one that's like on edge, trying to figure out... You'll have fun until you get the DMs the next day saying, that was a great party. And you're like, oh, at least everybody enjoyed it. Yeah, and you're like, I didn't enjoy it at all, but I'm happy that everyone did. It ends up becoming fulfilling at the end.
Yeah.
So having said that, what is your best moment thus far in crunch time basketball?
Like, best moment. Oh, I'm going to answer that last. I got to think about that.
Best moment
My
so
best
far.
Moment so far, I think it would be my grandmother coming out a lot, supporting us. She come out a lot. And when I was younger playing ball, she was coming out a lot. Now that I'm at the age that I'm at now, and she's still coming out, that it mean a lot to me.
Mm.
It mean a lot. And she got her favorite players too, and she be yelling and going crazy.
She know them by name too.
So it's just good to see her like that.
Marcus, what's your favorite moment?
Favorite moment? I mean, I'm really playing when it comes to this, man.
What's that?
Sinclair. That's it. Yo, you know what? You know what? That probably is one of the top moments, because I tell them, I'm like, yo, we got accepted for the sanction, blah blah blah, so what, I was at work too, and I'm like, yo,
get back in 10 minutes, you ain't yeah, an hour,
nothing, I'm like, yo,
y'all not excited?
Yeah,
excited though, man, but that was big for us.
Yeah, probably that was probably the thing, because it's like, we go through times where it's like, yo, 3 times a year is a lot. Let's just try. I wanted to try the summer. Last year was trying the summer, This year I was like, I wanted to turn it up a notch. So I saw where we could grow and, potentially help us become a staple in New York. So I figured the NCAA sanction was probably an exciting moment.
And that sanction, it's only a short window, right? They go from like July 1st to
June 15th. You got the players that can play in the league can only play from June 15th to August 31st. But you have to check with each player that's in Division I. They have to be done or can't play until they their first day of class. It's over. So you got to be very mindful of that, because there's ways where the sanction can get snatched from you, or put yourself
mess with anybody else's ability.
It's a lot.
Man, listen, and I really respect you guys, because this is probably just an idea that you had in your head, and I think a lot of people talk about what they can do, but not many people execute their idea and see it through. So, shout out to you guys.
Yeah, and not for nothing, man. We just wanted to build something for Long Island. I know you said earlier how to come along and stuff like that. Like, long time ago, I was working in a gym in Westbury. It was called the Lions Den, very low key. It was on New York Avenue, right? And we had a league in it, and it was good. The league was good and stuff. And, that gym closed down, and we moved on. We moved on, and I was like, yo, I like that atmosphere, and then Mo had his Welcome to Terrace,
give back,
and, he called me in, I came. Did the clock, did the book form and all that. And it was a good turnout. And then it was like, yo, we could do this. And I know White, he was doing rapping. He's a comical guy, comedian. So, in my head, I already knew along the way that, he'd be good at this. So I kind of saw certain elements, that we could come together and build something.
We definitely all know different people. A lot of people.
So it was just like, coming together, putting it all together, and then it exploded into crunch time.
I think that's literally my favorite element, because I've lived in the city, but my home is Long Island, man. Yeah. I love Long Island with all my heart. I'm gonna stay here. I lived in Arizona, man. I'd rather live under a cardboard box on Terrace Avenue than go back to Arizona, man. Because this is home, man. This is just home, and I think especially referees here too. And, well, you could probably speak on this, too. You see what Long Island referees that do your son's games, right? And you see the level of referees that do the PSA on the Catholic League.
For sure.
It's just different. And it's really hard to gauge somebody that's good in Long Island, because, if I get Uniondale versus, and I hate to, say a school, but let's say I have a Uniondale who's a really good team, and they're playing, Seaford. It's a big game, but it's going to be a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
But if I got Construction versus Cardozo, you already know what time it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You already know what type of battle test that I'm going to be in if I challenge myself. So I just think that, as a referee, I have that chip on my shoulder. I want to prove to myself that I can do those city games. So you guys are coming from the same place. But having said that, and I wanted you guys to speak on this individually. What do you think of the elements? What do you think it took to get to where you are right now in this moment in time, Mike?
I don't know what it took. A lot of sacrifice and a lot of communication. A lot of times, like I said, people don't ever see the hard work behind the scenes. And we on the phone 3, 4, 5 hours a day, between in different spurts of 30 minutes here, 45 minutes here, constantly communicating. I'm running to the bathroom because I really can't talk at work. So I'm on the phone in the bathroom talking to Marcus, talking to Mo. We just keeping a constant communication base.
Yeah. You always hit me with the jail phone time. You be like, yo, I'm in the bathroom right now.
Yeah.
We can do this podcast in 2 hours. Yeah. I'll give you the address.
So that's me. That's what we're doing all the time, too. So we conferences, calls, contact the referee. It's a bunch of different elements that people don't see. But I just think sacrifice is one of the biggest keys.
Yeah. Oh. Man, it's a lot. I missed a couple of my son's games, a couple of barbecues, family events, work sometime. And right now, I feel like it's worth it. You know, can't do nothing but get bigger than where we are right now.
So what do you think? What do you think it took to get to where you are right now?
Obviously sacrifice, a lot of sacrifice. We all got families, we all got situations that we want to, you know, be in, but dedication, you know, being dedicated and seeing what it is that we're trying to accomplish and sticking with it. And you know, I get my head beating when I go home sometimes, you know what I'm saying? And they laugh and stuff like that. And I'd be like, yo, when I got to go, I got to go. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But my wife, she's very supportive of me now, and she sees the vision of what I'm trying to do, what we're trying to do and trying to build. You know, so it's definitely dedication, man, because you can do something and you can be like, all right, I did it, but to be able to keep something going,
yeah,
same level, it's not easy. It's not an easy task, but it's a task that, you know, I think that we signed up for and that we want to see, you know, get better each and every season. So
it's a bigger picture now, because now the players are asking for it more than we can give them, you know what I'm saying? So now it's in high demand. So even when we in off season, they're like, man, when crunch time starting back up?
Yeah.
I need my visuals, I need my picks, I need you coaching the game. So
the energy,
we
yeah.
We created a hub where it's, you know, like I said, that family-oriented hub where, like, Sundays is our day now. You got football Sundays, you got crunch time Sundays, yeah. You know what I'm saying, during the off season. So there's a lot of people that's not football fans, my bad. It's not football fans, but they love the sport of basketball.
Yeah.
So now we created that same hub, but you can catch more than one game. So it's kind of like having NBA TV right in your backyard. You know, you just take a little 10-minute, 15-minute trip. I can go enjoy some very enjoyable food. I get to hear a funny commentator. You know, just friendly people, be around a bunch of different people that love the game of basketball. And then I get to see some exciting games, like some games that you can probably see overseas or some of these pro-level guys.
Right, and when Marcus was talking about how his wife is supportive, and I'll just say that momentum is real. Right?
Yeah.
And now you feel like you're going to die if you don't keep the ball rolling.
Right.
Because now
you got withdrawals.
It seems like it's bigger than itself, and you feel like, man, you just above water, and you just like, man, I just got to get through this week.
Yeah, right? When the season was over, I didn't know what to do on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And I even had some of the players DM me, like, yo, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, you can see it. It's all over line. It's all online. Social media, Facebook.
It's real.
So
it's real.
It's a real energy.
So the final question that I wanted to ask y'all is, what do you think it's going to take to get to where you want to go, and where do you want to go?
We're going to double up on the sacrifice. We're going to double up on the dedication. And we're going to add some new flavors. Like, they're not ready to spill the beans. I'll be ready to tell them.
We know.
We looking at it, right?
I ain't even looking. I want to tell them, man. But we got some things in the works that we're not ready to, promote or advertise yet. But we got a lot of things coming for Crunch Time. And just be on the lookout if you're following us. Once again, I'm going to always shout it out, Crunch Time Basketball _. That's our social media page on Instagram. Everything is up there. Live stats. You have, you know, highlights. You got pictures. We try to update the schedules, the location of the gymnasium. Whatever you're looking for, we got it on the Crunch Time page. So follow us, and we're going to be able to be ready to announce everything real soon.
Mo, what do you think it's going to take to get to where you want to go, and where do you want to go without spilling any beans?
More sacrifice. But hopefully we got some good things in store soon. We about to take over. If everything go the right way.
Yeah, you about to have a Biggie hologram pull up or something? Yeah, Biggie and Biggie are
coming right. It's coming right, man. We just know how to treat our players. More importantly, we know how to treat the people that's actually constantly supporting us. So we even got a section, you know, this is random, but we even got a section for the people who talk trash. We actually named them the hecklers. So we treat them as if they, you know, our VIPs. You know what I'm saying? So that's something that we just try to add different elements to the crunch time, you know, Sundays that we got. So, you know.
Marcus, what do you think it's going to take to where you want to go and where you want to go?
Hey, we're going to go to the top. You know what I mean? And not the top to say, yo, you never going to hear us say we the best. You're never going to hear us say that because we just want to create something that's long lasting. So you're going to hear about crunch time from here to when the casket drops, you know what I mean? And it'll keep going because it'll be people in place to keep pushing the brand. So what it's going to take, it's just going to continue to take, you know, the hard work, the dedication, the sacrifice, you know, everything that we put into it, the pain that we put into this. And hopefully it takes us to new levels, you know. One way or another, it's going to rise.
Yeah, and I think anyone that has been involved, played, spectated, ate some food for 30 minutes, I think when they listen to this, they're going to realize how much this really means a lot to you guys, that it's your baby and you want to keep the momentum rolling. Yeah. I really, guys, I respect you guys a lot. I know how hard it is. I mean, just in terms of referee rent, it's just me and my partner. It's a lot of work. And when it comes to, once people start expecting things, it's bigger than yourself, right?
Right.
And that's probably how you feel. Is there any final things that you guys want to say before you
I never said my actual moment was my highlight moment, man. But one was when it was 1 week in season 2.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the hoodie pat moment.
We could talk about both of those.
Forgot about that?
And I forget.
I just was watching it today.
Shout out to my guy, Hoodie Pat, man. I got three real quick. So I'm going to say the Hoodie Pat moment. If you haven't seen, it's just called The Move. You know what I'm saying? I did a move on Hoodie Pat during the All-Star game. And honestly, I think that helped elevate and boost some of our followers as well, because they like to see, you know, they seen the atmosphere that was created around it, and they see, you know, certain moves being done at a high level of play. So that was one. Big shout out to Hoodie Pat. Number two was, it was a week in season 2. Obviously, I was saying a line during me hosting the games that I didn't think people caught on. So one day I was, you know, hosting the games, and somebody got crossed over real bad. And I heard about 10 to 15 people saying, we got ankles for sale. So you don't know how that made me feel inside. I was just like, okay, I got something that, you know what I mean? It's a phrase that I finally coined something. So that was dope to see. And then last moment was just having my mom sit in on a weekly basis. She was happy. She was making money. And she was excited. She was hitting me up on Fridays, like, what are we cooking for Saturday night so I can bring it to the game for Sunday? So shout out to Mama Love, Cynthia Soul Food forever.
Any other things that you guys want to speak on before we part ways?
Let me see. Nah, man. Like he said, we never going to say we the best, but a lot of our fans say that. So as long as they happy, we're going to continue to do what we do and make them happy.
Word, man. So real quick, how could people find you on social media? What platforms can they find you, and how can they get more information about the league if they want to play?
Oh, man. Well, once again, follow us on CrunchTimeBasketball_. That's on Instagram. Our page on Facebook is a little inactive right now, but it's still CrunchTime League on Facebook. You can follow me personally at Maybach the President. If you can't find the name, go on the CrunchTimeBasketball_ page, and I'll pop up.
Same thing, Crunch Time. LI_Modingle.
Marcus.
I actually run the Crunch Time page. So it's gonna be another Crunch Time. But I got an email for you. You want an email?
Give me an email.
CrunchTimeLeague@gmail.com.
Cool.
All right.
And I'll put this all as a whole nice neat package on the website, and this will come up soon. Yeah. This has been great. This has been good for me. And hopefully we can work together. We'll talk off air about some
referee.
Maybe we could.
I want to say a big shout out to you too, man, for just coming out to us and showing us love and respect the way you did. You actually picked up an hour. I hit you and said, yo, listen, everybody's available at 5:30. You packed up the machines, everything, the microphones. Shout out to you, man.
I cut up my beach time quick, man. Between my toes.
Love is love, man. I appreciate it, though.
Yeah. All right, for Maybach the President, we got White, Mo, and Marcus. Crunch Time Basketball, this is...